sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am not Rolando. I'm Johnny.
Hi, John.
It's a pleasure to pleasure all of
you. It's a pleasure to pleasure your eardrums with our soulful vocal stylings. I've got nothing.
We hope you're wearing earphones and...
Nothing else.
Consider our iPod a shaft to your ears.
Exactly.
Of pleasure.
Two buttholes pressed against your face.
And then we can poop in your butthole, and then you can poop the poop back into our butthole. Do you remember what movie that is? Not a horror movie, but if... I think it was a Skeleton Boy's favorite back in college.
Oh no. What? Which movie?
Me, You, and Everyone We
Know. Yes. It's like, this movie means something. It's important. Yeah.
You know what? It gave us, we got introduced to John Hawks, I think, via that movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's when we fell in love with him, yeah.
I think, yeah.
They were like, dude, this guy's a good actor. Nobody's ever heard of him.
And cut to, we just haven't seen all the movies he's been in.
Oblivious to how wonderful he's been for fucking decades. Yeah. Alrighty. John Hawkins, unfortunately, is not in this movie.
No. But Richard Brake is. He's kind of a John Hawks sort of.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. But I feel like Brake kind of like gets typecast as like one type of person, right? Because he has such a look.
Evil guy. Yeah. He's, you know, he's horror royalty at this point.
Yeah. That's true.
I think most famously for what was it, 31? I don't know. I didn't watch that movie. The Rob Zombie movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He was one of the whatever, right? Like
I think he was like the main evil guy.
Yeah.
31, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I haven't seen it, everybody. Sorry.
I got a life, nerd.
Sorry, I really love Rob Zombie's music. Not a big fan of his movies.
I didn't even know he was a musician. No, I'm just kidding. alrighty. Welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Cold Storage. As always, Sean will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we're going to do a deep spoiler analysis. But John, if you want to continue to hear more witty banter, you can always follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
You can always listen to How Did This Get Made?
No.
I was gonna say WTF podcast, but that's not always witty. I love Mark Maron, but
yeah, didn't he end already?
It did. Okay. Yeah, it's over.
He's a serious actor now.
Now we're the number one.
Mark Maron's gone, so look out, Conan. We're coming for you. But yes, you can catch all those podcasts and ours on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. John, curious about what you thought of this movie. You've been very vague, so I'll make no assumptions. But do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary. Rolando, drum roll, please. For Cold Storage, coming in at number 3, Dungeons & Dragons Biker Gang.
Yes. Accurate.
That was one of my favorite parts of the movie, because I was like, anyway. It's just like the leader guy, I was like, I don't believe this guy is a tough biker guy. And then you see his other biker people, are like, ah, that's funny. Coming in at number 2 for Cold Storage, they've definitely seen Stranger Things.
I've definitely seen Stranger Things.
And coming in at number 1 for Cold Storage, Sosie Bacon is cooked quick.
Spoiler.
Spoiler for the cold open.
Yeah. Cold Storage open. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. You have any more?
Do you hear me working, everybody?
That was it. I wasn't even paying attention to the number of... you had said, but I'm assuming that was 3. That went quick.
That was 3.
Very good.
Yeah.
So Cold Storage more or less got some positive reviews, which is why we're reviewing it. We genuinely like a lot of the actors in this. So,
and I'll say it's very reminiscent of the first handful of movies we ever reviewed. It's got a very Cooties, Little Monsters vibe.
Okay, yeah. What do you want to... What'd you think?
I mean, I liked it. It's just a fun movie. Like, Cooties or Little Monsters. That's, like, the best comparison I can give it. Like, those movies aren't going to be my favorite movies. But if you just want, you know, you don't want to think too heavily in anything and just want to watch a fun movie, this is just silly.
Okay. I keep going back and forth because I see what type of movie this is trying to be. And there are elements... Because it's definitely trying to be like Tremors, Evolution, Slither. It's trying to be like these fun horror comedies, action horror comedies, right? I feel like that's kind of like... I would put this movie in that category. But to what to a lesser extent. Because there are elements that I did like. There were some good moments. But there's also like just very... stilted filmmaking in a lot of this. Like, I thought personally the look and design of the movie, that just the look, the way it looks, it's just very flat and boring. It gave no impression. There was no style here, which I don't even know if that was a choice or not, but it didn't really seem like it had like much of an interesting like visual aesthetic. It seemed very small in certain aspects. And then a criticism we were talking off air, a criticism leveled against this movie by other people is that there's a lot of CGI, which doesn't bother me. I mean, you can watch, there's so many movies that use bad CGI or just whatever, they don't have enough time to fix stuff, so that doesn't necessarily bug me. It's just some of the things I feel like what I'm really mixed on is I don't think like all the jokes landed. Some of it wasn't funny, and I feel like that happened more often than when it did. There's some good stuff. There's some pretty decent like laughs in here. I almost feel like the script could have almost been taken even more in the funny side, like make it almost a parody, make it a parody of sort of these disaster movies, right? These sort of, you know, centrally located, there's a threat and there's like some sort of, in this case, it was like some sort of like fungus or whatever, outgrowing fungus that people were getting infected by, and almost taking it to all the way comedy, like making it a parody of those types of like action horror movies, or just action movies in general. Because I felt like it seem like it was like riffing on those, like it purposely was being like, there was a lot of like cliche story elements to it. Did it seem purposeful to you, tone wise?
I mean, yeah, I want to say yes, but also I feel like this is just the way David Koepp writes everything. I don't think he's very good at writing comedies. Like, I feel like this is like the Mission Impossible screenplay, the Jurassic Park screenplay, except I think he was trying to write a horror comedy. He's just not very good at writing comedy,
right? He's one of those interesting guys because he gets a lot of stuff made because he knows how to write in the system, the studio system, and get stuff made. Does that make sense?
And I think this is his attempt to write an indie film, or like he wrote a book, right? But I read somewhere, somebody that read the book was a little confused until they saw the movie and they realized the book they read felt like a spec script. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Man, like I said, I really wish this movie had been more in the akin to like a scary movie. The Scary Movie franchise, like that. Like just go all the way left. That's why I was texting you. Like, I wish this movie was Naked Gun. Because I almost wanted it to be... And it didn't help that Liam Neeson's in it, right? So that's why I was like, well, I would have preferred them just to like riff on all of these cliche action story beats that you see commonly to kind of like wink at the audience, kind of like it's a parody, you're supposed to laugh. But I felt like just tonally it was kind of missing on that aspect of it. Even though I feel like, tell me if you're wrong on this. Crossed my mind when I was watching it. I kind of felt like story element wise, very similar to like Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, I was gonna say something like that, or I don't know. Yeah, it's taken a lot from a lot of different things. Has David Koepp ever written a horror movie?
He wrote oh my god, what's that Kevin Bacon movie?
Stir of Echoes?
I think he wrote that. I believe he did. Yeah, okay. Which is actually not a bad movie. I like it.
No, that, I remember. I remember thinking I liked it, so now I'm a little concerned if I go back. It's going to suck.
It's kind of like a low-key charmer of a movie. It's kind of very... It simmers. It's pretty good. It's Kevin Bacon's like, he anchors the fuck out of that movie. Like, he's so good in it.
Yeah.
I revisited it a couple of years ago, and I remember thinking, like, this is a solid movie.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's just like other things. I don't know. Like naming that one character Garbage after, what's her name? Lena Quigley from Return of the Living Dead.
Right.
I'm like, oh, what is it? So right, yeah. That's when it starts to get a little like, why would you go that far with things like that? Like, right. It's not even a clever name. I get that they're all kind of nerdy people trying to steal a bunch of TVs that were in a storage unit.
Made no sense. Yeah. I was seriously confused. I thought like, wait, I thought it was a storage unit. Is it a retail store too? I low-key thought it was like,
yeah because the storefront is set up very like and I'm wondering if it was mostly CGI also, because a lot of this felt like a video game.
Sure. Yeah,
like it had video game aesthetic.
Yeah, I just feel like the plot was super thin. You kind of already know all the beats. Yeah. Like there's really no surprises, and tonally it just like, when it tried to swing between different genres like horror, comedy, sci-fi, whatever, like it just never, it was just so like inconsistent and messy, and I just don't think they.
I was surprised by one thing, that Liam Neeson does not meet the main cast until 24 minutes to the end of the film, and I checked because I was like, "What?" It hadn't occurred to me that he's barely going to meet them, and there's only like 24 minutes left in the movie.
Did you think during the filming of this movie he had like some type of surgery or something? Because he was sitting down through 90% of this. Like his performance is like an email. Should have been an email. Because he is just like non-existent. Like
laying on the ground for most most of the end. Right. And I was also going to mention, like, I couldn't gauge the timeline. I didn't realize that time had passed. Because Liam Neeson shows up again. He's like, oh, that happened back then. I was like, what do you mean back then? Because
confusing.
They didn't try to de-age him, which is fine. But yeah. I was like, I don't know if 18 years.
That's poor screenwriting. Because
yeah,
they talk, perfect example of poor screenwriting, because they literally tell you in text something happened 18 years ago or whatever, right? And then the thing we're looking at is not present day. It's actually whatever, 5 or 6 years, you know, it was present day at the time, but then we go forward again, like this happened, and then Sochi Bacon died, and she's not a spoiler, she dies right away, and then Liam Neeson, whatever, that whole thing happened, and then we go forward again, and now we're in present day. It was like too many like things consecutively to remember.
It was not very clear. So just in case people do want to watch it, because it's not, I'm not gonna say it's a bad movie, it's not, it's fun for what it is. It's just, man, there's very poor screenwriting. I'll agree with that. Yeah, because the beginning, there's nothing to watch at the beginning. It's just, hey, this chemical, whatever, that then they try to bioengineer as a weapon, right? Gets loose. And then several years later, Sosie Bagan dies. Yeah. And then it's present day. And for whatever reason, they put this thing in a storage unit that's like a public storage. Kind of.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. This was also confusing because I didn't understand. They built a public storage on top of
an old military base.
Secret unit. That they were holding the thing at.
Right.
And then I think it was supposed to be like a red herring, but Georgina Campbell's character, I thought, was trying to steal the stuff because she was a little too gung-ho about like, let's break into the walls and figure out what. I thought she knew that this thing existed.
Oh yeah, I see what you mean. She just wanted to have fun because she's a mom.
Yeah, which I didn't understand. She's a mom. I thought she was looking for this. I thought 100% she was like evil. And then when she was on the phone with her, like she keeps calling him her baby's daddy. They make it seem like she's like in cahoots with like, no, I'm trying to find this thing, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, wow. Okay, she's evil. I'm like, nope. It's just for whatever reason, the dialogue was written that way.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't really have much of a motivation. Like, neither of them, honestly. Like,
well, also, I mean, Joe Carey had a stupid motivation. He says he has a condition where he needs to do things if somebody asks him to do them.
That's just like, what?
You remember that conversation? Yes. It was like a weird, yeah.
But now, and I then, have to go see
the boss guy, the biker gang leader. Uh-huh. He also has a thing where he's telling Joe Carey, like, no, well, you got to ignore it when we're doing something in the storage unit. Like, he's making it seem like he knows it's there too. Yeah. I was like, why?
Just that actually would have been good motivation, right? Like, for her.
Yeah, they wanted to steal it. Like, for, I think, like, every character except for Joe Carey would be the only one, like, not in the loop, would have been really funny.
Right. Yes. Like, everybody knows what's going on except for him. He's kind of just whatever. I'm just
and he's
slug.
Still
9-to-5 slow.
Saves the day. My partner made a really funny suggestion because I think she wanted it to be true. There's a character called Ma Rooney.
Yeah.
That goes into one of the storage units. Like, she goes there every anniversary for her dead husband, and she's going to kill herself. But she decides to take a nap instead, which is the most real thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, let me just take a nap first before I fucking kill myself. Like, that's fair. It would have been funny if, like, she came out at the end, was the final girl to save the day.
Right. Instead, she just disappears.
She just disappears. I like researched the heck out of it real quick. And it's just everybody's like, she kills somebody. And then theory is she decided, you know what, fuck this, I'm out. Just like took off. I can live another year. I don't have to die here.
Probably like, well, we can't get Vanessa Redgrave for. She's only gonna be here for a day and a half, so we got everything we could with her when she's out. Talk about favors. Yeah, a lot of favors going on.
Very true. Which, by the way, this was filmed 20 or was supposed to be released 2023, mm-hmm. and then just got released.
Yeah, I know we've been more or less been kind of like pretty critical of it, but I will say a couple of things that I did enjoy. I didn't dislike the fungus monster. I actually, those are the parts that kind of like goofy B movie side. Those are the elements I actually enjoy. Like, just like when they're exploding and there's like the fucking X is like becomes one of the monsters and stuff. It was cool. It was like kind of like, it was fun. Those are the elements I wish there was more of, like that going on.
Oh, one of the things kind of bothered me. The character Garbage runs away.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I was like, okay, so now they can run. I thought the idea was like they're all like they become slow moving because this parasite's like slowing them down.
Yeah. Those. I mean, I kind of like that they were. I wish there was more of that kind of exploding grossness, and they were trying to infect our main characters. You know, Joe Kearney and Regina Campbell. I wish there was more of that, like them actively trying to like not touch anything could have been fun too.
Yeah,
but it just didn't seem like there was very much stakes going on, like in terms of like their motivation and what they actually wanted, why they were doing anything.
you kind of, I feel like midway through the movie I realized like I don't think these people are ever going to be in danger.
Right. Yeah. Very good point.
Because they've come in very close contact with so many different things, like the Rat King thing, mm-hmm. which that's, you know, I mean, if people aren't familiar with what the Rat King thing is, it's rats, and this has happened, their tails become entwined and they've just become like a big ball of like rats that are stuck together. But these were all infected by the fungus.
So I have a side note on that. Did I ever tell you that when I was working on a show once, we were at lunch and I had just, the first time I had ever heard of this idea of the Rat King was from John Hodgman. He had written it in a book and he was talking about it, and I was like, oh, I've never heard of anything like this before. And then I was relaying it during lunch and just casually just talking about it, and then there was this other female coworker, and I wasn't even talking to her specifically. She turned around and they were like, rats don't do that. That's made up. That's total bullshit. I have rats at home and I take care of them, and they don't fucking do that. And I was like, I was taking it back and I was like, she's taking this very seriously. You know, the Hulk, like, I just left it like, well, I thought it was like a fun idea, I guess. Like, yeah, I don't know. That's dumb. I don't know where you heard that. That's so stupid. And I was like, okay. So she got very defensive about the idea these rats did this, even though it's true, though. It did happen, or it's been known to happen. So anyways.
Yeah. So moral of the story is don't talk shit about rats in the open.
No, rat people are weird. I think that's the that's the moral of the story there. But,
and you know, it's surprising the amount of people that I know that have rats. It's like a very like And I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm just like, man, sometimes I walk around, you know, especially like Hollywood area, and there's some fucking huge rats that you see running around in the sewers. Like, these are cat-sized rats.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like rats. Keeps me out a little. People own rats, like as a trend or a hobby.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know why. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I just don't see the appeal of owning a rat. I feel like it's a lot of work, but.
Are they like walking it? Like a dog, and then they have their wired Apple headphones, and then they're pretending to be so hip and cool.
Well, they do, like, you know, in their, you know, they have like a little pouch or, you know, stuff like that.
Oh my God. I saw once this guy, he had a chihuahua on his shoulder and he treated it like a dog. I felt so bad for the dog. The dog was like shaking. But the guy's all like, look, I got a fucking dog on my shoulder. And I'm like, the poor dog was just like fucking, and he was like walking around. And I'm like, oh man, I feel bad for that dog. At what point is this abuse? Oh. But yeah, I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. Do you want to go to spoilers?
Yeah, sure.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers! It was a cockroach.
It's a fun guy.
Yeah. I mean, what's... So what's spoiled? Everybody dies, except for our main good people.
Yeah, I guess... To destroy it, Liam Neeson has to like set off a nuclear bomb.
A suitcase bomb. No, that doesn't exist.
Oh, okay,
cool. That was one of the ongoing jokes. That they're like, you made a suitcase bomb, and he's like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. There's no such thing. This is a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, I missed that, obviously. But I feel like so that happens, but somehow he enlists Georgia Campbell and Joe Kern's character to actually put it. Below or whatever, below the storage area, and so they do that, and the bomb goes off and it blows up, and they have that horrible.
They barely get away in a what is it? Liam Neeson's former coworker drives like a
Trans Am.
Like a 19 early 90s Chrysler sort of Astro van. Mm-hmm. The reason she didn't have it is because Liam Neeson borrowed it and drove to the place. So she took her son's like brand new Trans Am or whatever, his Camaro, and it blows up. Too. There's a line where she goes like, "Oh no, my son's car." Then they keep driving away.
I find it hilarious that they think that they can actually run, like drive away from an explosion while like the ground is like, like collapsing upon itself. And it's a hilarious visual. But it's very common in like other action movies, right? Like any of the like.
But I think the biggest joke is they're trying to get away in like a 19, early 90s, like Astro van.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, all of it is preposterous. You can't outrun like all these movies are stupid. No. You know, they
got radiation.
Right? Yeah, it's just like I don't know. It was I get the point of it. You know, like you said, like it's supposed to be kind of like, oh, look how dumb this is. But I don't know. It didn't land for me. What else could we spoil about this? Why did Liam Neeson's back go out? Is it because of what happened to him in the cold opening? His back went out?
No, he's just old.
That's what I seriously think that we should look up see if he actually had like some back surgery or knee surgery, and that this was some sort of like thing before the movie started, because it feels like him being sidelined so much was purposeful, you know, like it wasn't really like part of the script or whatever.
Because I think I feel like a big part of the jokes were... big part of the jokes were that time had passed and nobody was paying attention to any of these people anymore because they were old and nobody gives a shit about, you know, like you guys are just kooky and old. Nobody believed you to begin with.
Yeah.
So they enlist like the guys, and I think it's supposed to be like they're the teasing geriatric people for trying to be heroes or something.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Not my favorite movie. But
yeah, because otherwise he would have gone in there too, right? I don't know. I don't know if there would be any point in that.
Yeah, they probably couldn't afford him.
No.
Another favor. I don't know. I mean, I did like, there is something, and this goes kind of without saying, right? That like Liam Neeson spouting off dialogue is always fun to hear, because he does add a bit of gravitas to whatever the fuck he's talking about, right? Like, whatever stupid shit they're having to you know, wacko science pseudo shit that, like, he's just spouting off and trying to, he makes it very believable. So yeah, credit to him.
I will say I think this has been a fan favorite. One of my favorite lines in the movies is they see somebody coming over and he's infected, right? And they're like, oh shit, he's got COVID.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Or was it
that's cold storage.
The other line I liked was that, oh, I don't feel good or something. And he's like, half his face is like missing, is just the lid part or something like that.
Oh,
like, yeah, I don't feel good.
And that's what's her face too, the other lady that stayed in the storage unit. God, what was her name? Not Garbage, but the other one.
Cuba?
It's going to bug me. Cuba, I think, right?
Yeah.
Cuba, yeah. And then she's just sitting down. She's like, I don't feel good either. She just says, I don't feel good, and her head explodes.
Pretty funny. Alrighty, that was Cold Storage. All right, John, do you want to rate the movie? How many sexy spooky bones do you want to get?
Rate the movie. I'm gonna give Cold Storage 5 sexy spooky bones.
I'm gonna give it a 4. Not my favorite. Very, you know, a lot of the comedy didn't work for me, but I wish it tone, a lot of the tone shifts also didn't work for me, but there are elements of it that I did like, the sort of like goofy B movie side. I kind of thought they worked for me.
We'll say a big step up from Whistle.
Yes, so. No. No.
I think so. Whistle, I thought, was trash.
You're right. Yeah, honest. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was terrible.
All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Goodbye.